Hey founders, this is the SaaS Boss Show, the podcast for SaaS founders in the growth stage who want to get unstuck, build high-performing teams, and get clarity about how to build a profitable startup. Every week, I interview SaaS consultants, coaches, and experts who work with dozens of startups just like yours and share their best strategies to overcome the daily challenges of growing a profitable SaaS. My name is Natalie Luniva, and I'm a growth and leadership coach to SaaS founders, and I'm also married to a SaaS founder, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us on this conversation. Welcome back. This is part two of my conversation with Carol Mahoney about SaaS sales. In this episode, we talk about how to hire your first salesperson, how to manage them, how to onboard them properly, and how to set them up for success. And what are some challenges that you can come across? Here we go. I want to switch gears and talk now about how founders can start hiring their first salespeople, how to manage, and what are some challenges that founders can come across?
Okay, so there's a lot to cover there. So first, in hiring your first salesperson, a lot of people, I ask the question, when you think about what a salesperson should be, what comes to mind? And a lot of people will answer things like, well, they need to be curious, they need to be detail-oriented, they need to be money-motivated. And I look at them, and then after they've given me all of these things, you know, they say things like they need to be gritty and resilient and be able to overcome rejection, and all of these are important qualities. But then after they tell me what the qualities that they look for, and the next question that I ask is, okay, so have you ever seen a salesperson who was curious and gritty ever fail or not make quota or not be successful in the job? And they say yes. So then my next question is, so if they can be gritty and they can be curious and they can be all of these things but still fail, how do we know what is predictable for someone to be successful in a role? And that's where we have to be able to understand what is the person, what kind of profile does the salesperson who's going to be successful in this role, in this company, look like? And so just because someone was successful in a previous company doesn't mean they're going to be successful in your company with your market and your buyer and your product. So the first thing that they need to do is understand, what is my ideal seller profile look like? And we actually use a process that we ask about between 35 and 40 different questions to be able to understand what is this profile of this person need to look like. And it goes into things like, how are they going to be managed? What kind of leads are they going to be getting? How are they going to be developing those leads? And if they're in a startup situation, they're probably going to have to do a lot of outbound prospecting. It's not going to be coming in from SEO and inbound yet because we're not established enough for that yet. So you're probably going to need someone who's good at hunting. You're also going to probably need someone who's good at consultative selling, because if you're working in a startup environment, there isn't going to be a perfect product market fit. So the salesperson who comes into this role is going to need to be able to ask questions, to understand, to develop solutions, and be able to sell the vision of something. And you can't do that if you're not a consultative seller. They're probably also going to need to be able to sell on value. So these are the types of things that we look at as to what goes into building an ideal seller profile. Then once you have the profile done, then with that profile, you can write the ad to attract the person that you're looking for. Like if you go through LinkedIn right now at any sales jobs that are listed, you can take any three ads from similar companies, put them together, and they look and sound the same. Like you could swap out the company names and you wouldn't know any different.
Yep.
So when a salesperson reads your ad, the reaction that you want to get is for them to say, that's me. Not a job description of here's your duties and here's the requirements for the role and here's a bulleted list of all of these things. No one is going to read that and say, yes, that's me. But if someone reads an ad that says growth opportunity for entry-level sales position to grow within the company, and you list out you must have this kind of experience, you must have these kinds of skills, this is the type of person that you are, that is a different type of ad. And with that, you can then take those applicants that come in from them that ad, and what a lot of startup founders will do is they'll take a resume, think, all right, this person's got the experience that I need. They'll bring them for a phone interview. They'll bring them in for an in-person interview. They'll fall in love with them because they're a great salesperson. They're energetic. They sold me on the idea of hiring them. Unfortunately, that might be the only sale that that person ever makes, because if they're a decent salesperson, they should be able to sell you on the idea of hiring them. But that doesn't mean that they'll be able to sell your product. So we actually try to keep it as objective as possible in the hiring process. So before you ever talk to a salesperson, have them take an assessment that screens for the abilities objectively, and then use that to then be able to interview them later on so that your feelings, your biases don't get wrapped up in the interview process. The other thing in hiring a salesperson is it's unlike any other role that you'll fill in your company. Like if you hire for someone in marketing or if you hire for someone in HR or in finance or in development, any kind of a situation, you're going to have that person, this is your job description, these are your expectations, these are the resources, and here's where you can turn for help, and everyone's going to help you to get your job done. But the salesperson that you hire, it's not exactly that case, because at every turn, they're being thwarted to try and reach their particular goal. The marketplace, the buyer, all of these things are going to try to prevent them from being successful. And so the way that you hire and onboard salespeople is way different than how you would hire and onboard anyone else in your company. So typically after you have gotten your ideal seller profile, you've created the ad that describes the person you're looking for so that they read it and say, yes, that's me. They are then send you their resume and you send them a link to take an assessment so that you can objectively evaluate their strengths, their skills, their mindsets, their beliefs, and their likelihood of success in the role that you have. Then for those who are recommended that meet those certain criteria, you can bring them into a phone interview. And when most people do phone interviews or things like that, they build rapport, they're really nice, they're trying to sell them on the opportunity. None of that. None of that. The way to actually handle a phone screening for a salesperson is to actually make it really tough on them, especially if you want them to build rapport, especially if you want them to be able to overcome some resistance and tension in calls. You've got to conduct your interviews as if they were in the sales role already. So be tough on them, be strong on them, make it not so easy to get through the process, because if they can make it through the interview process where you're being tough on them, they're going to succeed when they get into the role. So it's a very different dynamic in the hiring process for a salesperson than it is for anyone else. But there are tools and processes to help you to do that. But again, if you don't have sales experience or you've never managed salespeople, this is one of those places where I would recommend outsourcing that sales hiring function. Because for a startup, the cost of an unsuccessful sales hire will cost you a round of funding or two rounds of funding. It could sink your entire business. So you definitely want to make that conscious choice to get some objective to it, because that bias can really undercut you in the long run. So that's that. There's a longer process that it goes with that. But in short, those are the major differences when you're looking to hire your first salesperson.
One thing I would add is if they sold deals of similar size in the past, maybe that this could be helpful, because if they were completely on a different level and were selling like $1,000 versus now they're going to be selling at like, $50 or $100 a month, then that's going to require a completely different mindset. Working with those prospects is going to be completely different.
Yeah. And the other thing that's going to be completely different, they may have been successful in selling similar deals, but then you've got to also consider what kind of environment were they in. Did they have a sales enablement team and a marketing team that was delivering them leads? Did they have a good territory? Did they have all of the slide decks and pitch decks that they were going to ever need? Are they used to things being done for them? Or are they used to being in a startup environment where it's constantly changing and things are constantly evolving? There is no fancy pitch deck or slide deck that's going to help you to sell. It's really just going to be you. So there's a lot of nuances and differences there that you can't always judge past success to be predictive of future success, because there's too many variables at play.
What I also hear you say is that we as founders are basically responsible for whether the salesperson is going to be successful or no. And yeah. It's going to be at least 50% of our responsibility, if not more. So what we can do to set this person up for success versus put them in the position where they're not going to be able to succeed.
Yeah. Well, and so this is one of the other tricky things that as a founder, if you've been successful in selling to this point, you may expect that it's going to be easy for your salesperson that you hire to step in. But you've got to remember, you're the founder. You have a lot more credibility and a lot more product knowledge than anyone else that you're going to bring in. You probably also have a lot more passion for the product and the problem that you're trying to solve. So when you're bringing in and onboarding that first salesperson, for me, I think the number one thing is to get that salesperson immersed into the world of the buyer, understanding who they are, what their challenges are, how they make their decisions, why this is a problem for them, how they've tried to solve that particular problem, and then how you can help to particularly do that. What are the questions that you need to ask them? Those are the kinds of things that you can help your salesperson with in onboarding them, but don't expect that you're going to be able to hand off the relationships that you've built and have them run with them. Or don't expect that they're going to have the same percentage or rate of success that you had because they're not you. A lot of founders are like, I just need someone to come in and be me in this role. Not going to happen.
And this is also why founders should make those first sales, because I hear some founders say, I'm not a salesperson. I don't want to do that. I would just rather bring someone who could do that. No, you are the founder and you should make those first few sales before you build this process that already works. And then you give this process to the salesperson and say, this is how it worked. If you can do it better or if you can improve the process, sure, I would love to, but at least I know that this works.
And as the founder, getting those first couple of sales in to create those evangelists, those fans, those case studies, that's going to be absolutely critical. Can you bring someone in to do that for you? It's not impossible, but it's not as easy.
What are some issues that you see happen due to a poor hire? What are some, if we already made a hire, how do we know if it's just going to take another month, for example, for us to start seeing the results, or there's a problem now and we kind of need to do something now instead of waiting and giving it a little bit more time to work out?
Yeah. And that's kind of the mystery and the guesswork that happens a lot of times in sales is, are they going to be able to pull it off? Do we wait it out or do we let them go? Like, these are kinds of the unknowns questions, which is one of the reasons why we do an assessment when we hire, so that we can get clear and objective data on that. But then also understanding what are the realistic expectations here? How long is the sales cycle? Let's say, for example, as the founder, your sales cycle was 3 months long. So let's give them 4, maybe 5 months because they need to ramp up and get their feet underneath them. If in that first 4 to 5 months, you're not seeing like meetings happening, calls being advanced from those meetings and things being moved forwarded to actually close in a deal, then you have to wonder, is this the right person? What most founders do is that they wait too long because there's that time been invested. We've already invested all of these things. And so because we've already made this investment, we want to wait and see if we can get some kind of payoff from it. And unfortunately, that they would have been better off cutting their losses sooner rather than later. The other thing is looking at, if you have a sales cycle of 3 months and they haven't done anything in 4 or 5 months, looking for things like that are excuse making. Is the salesperson saying, well, you know, we're too overpriced or the market is too competitive or all of these other things? So if you're seeing a salesperson who's not being successful and there's a lot of excuse making that's happening, then that tells me, one, they're not very coachable, that they're not likely to change, and that you'd be better off probably bringing someone else in. That is where an assessment and an objective evaluation of their strengths, their skills, to know whether or not they are going to be likely to be successful in the role, and what are the things to look for in the individual, because not every two people are going to be the same.
So I have experience hiring dozens and dozens of employees, but when it was my first, second, or third, I didn't know what I know now. And so I would say that if it's your first hire, you don't know what you don't know. So just expect that things are not going to play out too well, but be prepared and think about what it is that you need to make in order for you to make these assessments and validate whether it's working or not. So what I would recommend is on your calendar, put a month, 1 month, 2 month, and 3 month evaluation, so that you know, because time flies, and then in 3 months, you are like waking up, okay, it's been 3 months and now there's nothing, like no results, or I don't know what's the progress. And that's why make those check-ins as often as you can, but put it on your calendar to say, hey, this is our 1 month evaluation, what's happening, let's talk about this.
Yeah, and there should actually be an onboarding plan that has a timetable to it. So week one, week two, week three, week four, it's almost like a learning curriculum where, all right, week one, you're going to be learning about the buyer and their world. And then week two, you're going to be learning about, you know, the typical buying process, the sales process, you know, week three and week four. And so each week you have learning objectives and milestones that need to be met. you know, after the first month, then they should be starting to get onto calls. And after the first week of calls, they should be getting X number of meetings booked. And after those meetings are booked, they should be getting X number of next steps, so that you have a clear table for them to see what the expectation is, and that you have something very clear to then, when you meet each week or each every other week and you look at those particular expectations, then you can find out where their struggles are, where their challenges are, where do they need help if they're falling short on a particular metric or a number. And again, the same process that we talked about for productivity for the founders, about time prioritization and chunking their time, they need to help their salespeople do the exact same thing. Because essentially the salesperson is like a little mini entrepreneur. Like, they're the ones, they have to go out and create the plan and the strategy and get the business going. So you need to be able to help them to do the same thing, especially if you're managing them remotely.
What are some last parting words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the founders?
I think the last words of wisdom is definitely seek outside advice, because we all have our own biases that get in our way of sometimes seeing things clearly. And when you're so close to something in your own business, it's very, very hard and difficult to be objective. So take advantage of outside feedback and consultants that can bring that experience and perspective for you. That is invaluable and priceless. And that's not even just something that you do in the early stages of a company. It's something that you should do regularly throughout the growth of your company. I think that also the other last piece of advice that I would give to founders is that you're in sales. Whether you're doing the actual selling, or if you're trying to get investors, or you're trying to hire employees, or you're just trying to motivate people to follow you, you are in sales every single step of the way. And the sooner you can embrace that and understand it and actually start to acknowledge what your own hang up about sales is, then you'll be a better leader, you'll be a better boss, you'll be a better employer, and your customers and your employees will be much happier for it.
Where can our listeners find more information about you?
They can definitely go to the website, unboundgrowth.com. I'm definitely active on LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If they go to unboundgrowth.com, there'll be plenty of easy links there for them to book a call or email me any questions that they might have.
Carol, I thank you so much for your time. This has been very valuable. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the SaaS Boss Show. If you found this content interesting, I'd really appreciate it if you take just a second to leave a review on iTunes so that founders just like you can learn about this show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and I'll be back with another interview next week.